So we're talking about soul care, and one of the things the monastic movement did, which I thought was interesting, is they found a way for people to get busy proclaiming Jesus Christ, busy doing good, alleviating poverty, busy in the mission. And I know for myself that idleness is the devil's workshop, that busyness is good for my soul. Now, I agree with 6 days you should labor and do all your work and the seventh day rest. So I agree with rest. But the attitude is that of being busy. Stay busy doing the work of the Lord, avoid idleness. 2 Thessalonians 3:11-12. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. This is one truth I observed over 4 decades of ministry, and that is that idleness is a killer of the soul. It creates all sorts of trouble. And I've noticed, like, at various times, like, here's one: if someone becomes unemployed and idleness creeps in, ooh, look out. Or someone retires and they're trying to figure things out. But whatever, it's the monastic movement showed, as people care deeply about the soul, that they were called to get busy. And so whatever your situation in life is, many of you have come to Christian Leaders Institute because that idleness propelled you, because what was happening to your spiritual life, you were experiencing pain, the soul was in pain, and you knew, I got to do something, I got to get purpose. So somehow you went on the internet and somehow you found Christian Leaders Institute. Community accountability. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself that you will also be tempted. Carry each other's burden in such a way you will fulfill the law of Christ. A lot of times this passage is quoted in a church organization way, like somebody had an affair on their spouse and now the leaders get together and they exercise discipline. And I believe that's one application. But another application is just be with each other. In a sense, be gentle watchers of each other. It says, do it in gentleness. Be careful to restore in gentleness. You know, the temptation sometimes is to just sort of, like, you know, take the hammer out. And, you know, but there, most times I think people are struggling and the soul is fragile. And with, come to me all who are heavy laden and I will give you rest. Jesus has a gentleness about how he would deal with us sinners. And in a community, we can have that kind of a gentleness too. So instead of just judging someone and telling them what they're doing wrong and why are you doing that, maybe it's about talking with them. Now, notice that, Pat, talking with them. And I should say one more thing. Talking and listening and in sharing the story and, you know, in ministering. And that's where life coaching and chaplaincy and, you know, pastoring and prayer, you know, walking alongside of them. But be careful. Which way is the arrow pointing? Is it pointing to glorify God? Don't get caught up. Again, as people are ministering to each other, the accountability is ultimately a realization that temptations are everywhere and that the soul is fragile. And we come together to help each other limit the exposure of our souls to places that can really harm us. I want to say one thing here, too. You know, sometimes when you talk like this, it feels kind of fretful, like, oh no, everything is going bad and the soul can break and everything. Okay, in some ways, the way the monastic leaders thought about that is they just took it serious. They knew And we know today that God has us, that we are His. No one can snatch us out of His hands. I mean, even in Corinthians, the early Corinthians, when it talks about how, you know, let your works be of, you know, finer materials, and let it not be of hay, and that the fire burns, and all that remains, you know, is that person without works. Okay, in a lot of ways, people can get scared or worried about that type of description, and I'd go the other way. It's like, wow, even in some of our most frail moments, we don't have to worry. God is there. That is an encouragement of, let's be about the finer materials, refined. Let's be refined. Let's grow. And let's help each other grow. But always know that God knows those who are His. That no one can snatch us out of God's hand. So while we're talking about all of these things, also simultaneously be aware that God has this. God has a plan. He who began a good work in you will carry it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. So, you know, I look at our lives, and I've come to realize that if we are in it to win it, and that's who we are. It's as if, back to that Corinthians passage about refined by fire, and then having a community that's with us, that are in it to win it with us. Our minds and hearts do get on track for the mission, and the mission carries us along, so we don't get our eyes seen in all these distractions. We have no time for that. What I find really interesting is this passage from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life from which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. What I like about this passage is, here's the Apostle Paul is saying to Timothy, so he's mentoring him, he's challenging him, he's encouraging him, that get so caught up in the fight of the faith that you have no time. Again, I go back to my dear father. I just saw he was so busy working at Camp Timberlee and building this and doing this and doing this. I got no time for all those idols and distractions. And that's the monastic movement. That was their heart, even though we would not agree with everything how they did it. But in a sense, it's not the monastic movement that you get busy going out of the world. It's the monastic heart of getting involved. Now, I will tell you that many in the monastic movement were so into the mission that they built hospitals and they went out there. So, you know, understand, I'm not trying to characterize all things as one thing, because we can learn many, many. Some of the best hospitals in the world were made by monastic priests and nuns who gave themselves 100% to Jesus Christ, and it was wonderful for their souls as they gave themselves to the mission. So, as we think about soul care, we think about the seriousness by which we look at our soul and how our soul stays devoted to Jesus Christ, how our soul is limited from things that hurt it, limiting the wrong kind of company, how we are busy at it for the gospel. All of these things are powerful as we care and declutter our souls.